Sie wollen mehr? Noch mehr? Sie wollen das beste Netz. Jetzt zur Telekom wechseln und gratis Tablet sichern. Zu jedem Smartphone mit neuem Mobilfunktarif gibt's ein Lenovo-Tablet kostenlos dazu. Ab Mittwoch.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560. Presented by Endzone Sports Bar and State Farm Insurance Houston.
The dance part. Oh!
Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Allie, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
I said the king's in the building. Tell me how you feeling. Yeah, I said the king's in the
building. SB Nation Radio 1560 AM. What is going on, everybody? My name is Chris DeMayes here with Allie Cato, Diamond Dave, and Gio Lopez. What's going on, guys?
What is going on?
So is this my name now?
Yep.
So that's me now. I'm Diamond Dave.
This is Gene approved. Gene has just texted me right now. Diamond Dave,
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, and I heard during the break that Gene says that he's not going to wear a romper. He's not a romper wearer. I say that we do a wager with Mr. Mean Gene.
Yeah, come on, Gene.
Come on.
Let's get it.
No,
done.
I say we do a little wager. Next time he comes in, let's see all of our predictions.
I mean,
and whoever gets the right prediction.
We can Photoshop his face to like that little that group, that little romper wearing group.
Or whatever. I can definitely do that.
Oh, yeah. If we do that, he will definitely be Mean Gene, though. Like,
what are you guys doing?
What? He does not. He's going to hate on you. He does not sound like that.
Oh, no, because I was reaching for something.
So, guys, just in case the people didn't know out there, so the Houston has a couple draft picks in the draft. This too, the 43rd and 45th pick, and he also had the 28th, but also is going to the Lakers, though. So, no pick in the first, but we got two picks in the second.
Series in a row.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think, if anything? Because you don't really expect to get one of those guys that are going to be a supreme caliber type player, but what kind of guy do you see that we should go after?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going to go ahead and get a power forward, a center.
It's definitely an essential as of right now. I don't think we can get a big name, but this one person, for example, that jumps out at me real quick is Jonathan Motley from Baylor. Power forward, center position. He can put the ball on the ground. He can shoot from outside just a little bit, and he's not really scared to dribble the ball. And that's something from that position we do need to see. We need to see a guy who can put the ball on the ground. Anderson, he can, get hot from time to time, but at the same time, we can't rely on those shots that if he's not just flat-footed and can square up and shoot, he needs to be coming off a pick or, doing other things, but not all the time those can fall. So, yeah, at the center position and power forward position, we do need to move up at least a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, with those picks, they're pretty much whatever Rio Grande Vipers need because they're going straight to.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're going straight to the D-League. They got to get some adjustments done. But also, I mean, Kyle Wiltshire that's on the bench as of right now, I mean, he's almost that Anderson prototype, He's 6'10", and he can shoot lights out from three. Do you feel that maybe him or even what's his name?
Onowaku?
Just Onowaku, but I think his name's Zauki.
Zauki?
Yeah, so, I mean, we have him maybe to look at next year. Do you feel that he might come along as well?
I mean, he was practicing here in Houston a couple of weeks ago. So there's some rumors that he might sign to Houston. I just don't know if there's any playing time as is right now for them next season. The thing with Wiltshire is just he's slow defensively.
Yeah, and that's something that you wish because, I mean, we see all the offensive stuff, and, of course, that's the things that we like watching. We like seeing the guys who are get up the floor, shoot the three-pointer, and be able to do that on the offensive side. But we always have that one case that
– Shoot the J. Shoot it.
Shoot it. But on defense, we kind of already know that whoever James is guarding is not going to get their full potential, his full – ability to try to stop that guy. We don't see the James Harden from OKC anymore. That's that defensive stopper.
I seriously think the biggest need is not like a power forward. I think it's somebody to replace Ariza as a 3-and-D guy. And I don't think, obviously, you're not going to get that in the 43rd and 45th pick.
Exactly. I honestly agree, because Ariza is one of those guys that I feel like, yeah, he does so much. He plays defense. He's actually busting his butt the whole time. He's on someone's hip. He's in there now, like, he became like a really, really well 3-point shooter. I thought he was always capable, but now I say that's a big part of his repertoire now.
Yeah.
But Sam Decker is definitely someone I look at that in the 3 position, that's the man. That's going to be the guy to go to.
He's going
to
give you 3 in offense. It's just, I don't know about defensively, like maybe like a Kelly Oubre or somebody like that in the free agency market. Ariza would be great coming off the bench.
I think so too, just because of how, like, yeah, he's a more mature player. Yeah. He leads in different ways. Yeah. But I don't see him just leaving us just yet. I like Trevor so much because he does bring something to the table.
But I don't know if it's a starter, though. I don't know if Ariza is a competent starter anymore. Like, he, first of all, he does have a 3-point stroke inconsistent. Like, you don't know what you're going to get.
It's fair, yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, and he's getting a little bit older.
That's the
thing that I like about Trev now, is that I think he always had that old man game to him just a little bit, even though when he was younger, when he first came in the league,
yeah,
he was always a guy that was scrappy. He's going to dive on the floor. He's going to do the extra things to keep the game going. And now, as he's transitioning into this player, now that he's getting older, because honestly, we're counting him out just because of age. And I don't think that's 100% fair. But
I mean, but you see players like Clint Capella. He's young and he's really getting it out there.
He's gotten better in every single way, like rebounds, yeah, points, that chemistry with Harden, free throw percentage.
I feel that sometimes he gets left out in the island though to dry. Whenever a defensive breakdown happens, and
we do need the sad music
for Clint Capella, because he gets left alone all the time whenever someone breaks down on defense and he has to get dunked on, or he has to make a play at the rim in order
I'm hoping that they'll bring him out more next season, you know, because, I mean, yeah, he's young, but I think he started making a name for him.
He's going to get a lot of looks now. I feel that offensively, I think he's going to come along once he's able to put the ball on the floor a little bit better. After that, then you can just see Clint, you know, blossom into the player that he should be. But also, Clint can't do this himself. You got to look to see if, you know, what's Nene's do, if he's going to come back. We also got to look at what's going to be on our bench now. I mean, we look at, you know, Montrezl Harrell. He's a good player. He has a lot of energy, but also he's only around 6'7", 6'8". Can he compete with those guys that, you know, that are in the center position? Can you see Montrez maybe transitioning into a guy who's like Draymond Green on the defensive side? Because honestly, that's what he kind of has to do. He's going to have to guard positions from the 4 and the 5 because...
Well, I mean, and Clint just turned 23 too. So, I mean...
Yeah, young guys who are playing major minutes right now. So, I feel that the Rockets bench as of right now, they're going to have to transition a little bit. All of them have to do a little soul searching and grow up a little bit. But those 3 guys, when I say Clint, Decker, and Montrez, they're the guys who, even they're the good young guys that have to step up for next season.
Yeah, especially Decker. I mean, yeah. I have seen even less of him than I did Capella, to be honest with you.
I don't think the bench is a problem at all. You got Eric Gordon and Lou Williams.
No doubt.
For a lot of teams, that's all the offense you need. The problem is the starting 5, like whenever Harden's not going, you don't have a post scorer, like a Paul Millsap or somebody like that to give the ball to and let him do work like the Spurs do with Aldridge.
When you look at D'Antoni's old Suns team, you saw a lot of guys can do different things. You had Steve Nash. You had Amari Stoudemire. You also had shooters like Quentin Richardson. Sean Marion had an ugliest shot, but he's going to hit a corner 3. Yeah. Jimmy Jackson was over there for a little while. You had all these guys who contributed, but you didn't have to just rely on Steve Nash, the MVP at the time. He can kick it out to Amari, and Amari can work the post. And all those guys were able to create for themselves. Steve Nash didn't have to create everything for him, but, I mean, it helped so much that he did.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know what they're going to do. I seriously don't think – I don't know what can propel them to that other level where they're in the same conversation as the Golden State Warriors. Like, I don't know what they need. I don't know what they can get for them to be in that championship conversation. Like, it's so hard right now for me to establish what they need.
When can we finally – put people accountable for both sides of the game, not just one side, because I feel that we already so complacent with James playing a certain way on defense is that we just let that happen and we just think it's all cool in games and we let them score two just because, oh, let's just get back and hit a three.
Well, I mean, it's they weren't that bad, man.
I'm really being hard on Harden. I totally understand that.
Harden wasn't that bad on defense most of the year. But the he's never going to be like the best defender ever.
But whenever you see him, whenever he was in a Western Conference Finals playing against Kobe, like, wouldn't you want to see that guy? The guy who was coming off the bench and actually holding the best player? The guy who used to, like, use that as, you know, something to feed off of? That same guy who chose to be the sixth player instead of, you know, starting?
I felt
that there's a lot of James' game that expanded, but there's also some that he just kind of left. Like, I like James so much because of what he brings, and he changed the game. The way he plays, the way his offense is, I mean, people have to play him carefully because he can score in so many ways.
Yeah, but as a team as a whole,
exactly.
You mostly just see Harden, though. It's like Anthony Davis to the Pelicans.
Oh, but Anthony Davis gets rebounds and block shots, though. Like, he's a totally two-way player. The thing that just irritates me is that we're okay with James playing not 100% on defense sometimes. Like, yeah, I get it. You're going to leak out and try to start the fast break. You're doing other things to set up the offense. I understand that, and you're doing a lot, and I get that. But at the same time, I want to say that there's more that we can do on the other side. Because whenever the shots are falling, life is good. It's so amazing whenever we're shooting over, 35, 40% from three-point line. It's a good day. But at the same time, what about those days when we go 3-for-17 in the first half? Are we going to still keep shooting?
That's just the way they are, man. That's just the offense, dude. Like, that's never going to change. With Daryl Morey as the GM.
I love Daryl, too.
Mike D'Antoni as the
coach. I like those
guys. That's never going to change. Like, if they're not making any threes, we're probably
So are you
gonna,
saying we need Pop to come back? Yeah.
You
know, Pop?
Oh, well, yeah, Pop. I'm sure the Spurs will let him go anytime soon.
Oh,
no, I'm just playing. I'm just playing, guys. Spurs are never going to let him go. Like, he's probably the best coach ever.
I just still feel like as Houston, we can do more. Because, like, if for the case that you just said, shooting a barrage of threes, then why do we draft Montrezl Harrell, who doesn't shoot any threes? Like, we kind of understand that his position is that guy to pick and roll, goes to the basket. I just feel there's just more to our game. Even though with the guys that we have, we can still expand. Like, for example, whenever they're doing their whole pick and roll on top and three guys are just standing around just waiting for the ball, hopefully that will happen. Like, I feel that those three guys don't have to just be standing at the three-point line. Maybe someone can be crashing. Whenever I saw Eric Gordon come off a double screen one play in the playoffs, and to me it looked amazing. I'm just like, wow, y'all looked so organized. It looked like y'all just ran a play for him. But we only get that maybe like once or twice in a game. And that's the things that kind of just, tick me off just a little bit, that they don't give that little extraness.
And also the bench. I mean, whenever the bench is on, that's when you actually have to run those plays because they're not as they're not James Harden. Like, James Harden can create.
But do we have to pick and roll up top every play?
Okay, boys. I think we've talked about basketball quite a bit, enough. I think so. When we get back,
never know.
We'll talk. I bet you say that. Okay. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about Texans, and we're going to end up talking to Matt Weston. Keep tuned to 1560 AM Sports Kings After Dark.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by End Zone Sports Bar. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Allie, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, guys? SB Nation Radio 1560. We're here with Allie Cato, Diamond Dave, and Gio Lopez. What's going on, guys? We're talking, are you ready for some football?
What is going on? I'm still. I don't want to talk about this after every break. But this music, man.
What's wrong with that?
Come on.
You don't like Wu-Tang, Allie? Is that what you're telling me?
Is that
back and forth? Come on, Allie. We're going to have to educate you on some music.
It's that mystery music. Like whenever you were,
I feel like I'm at the carnival.
I feel like it's like Scooby Doo.
Oh, so we got carnival. We got carnival. We got mystery.
We're all
ready. We got Scooby Doo on here.
Yeah. Actually, the video actually is them in the prehistoric age, like them acting out Flintstones, basically. The video is actually really dope.
Wu-Tang, I love Wu-Tang, man.
I think they're like a lost art, man. Like, right?
Well, they're not. I don't think.
They still do I want to say they might be doing Austin City Limits, I think.
Oh, for real?
They still do festivals, and I actually got to see them at Free Press. It was everyone but Method Man, and I was kind of disappointed Method didn't show up. But I mean, when you have like at least 8 of them out of 10, I mean, that's still a pretty good ratio.
Well, he's a movie superstar, so
yeah. I mean, I appreciate that. So I think he's on tour at Redman, actually. Like, I like the fact that a lot of these guys that, you know, people in the 90s used to listen to and stuff, they still get fed, man. They still doing work, even though their new music
yeah,
might not do.
They're probably eating Fruity Pebbles, though.
What's wrong with Fruity Pebbles? I feel like you have a problem with everything we like, Allie.
She's like,
just a guy badmouth
hey,
avocados.
This is what happens when you badmouth my avocados.
I add avocado to my Fruity Pebbles. You know, normal thing.
Yeah, let's
That's
look
normal.
At the health nutrition facts between an avocado and your whole box of Fruity Pebbles.
Who's eating a
Diabetes
box in one
Central.
Day?
Right? God, a whole box? I'm usually good after one bowl. Like,
I've heard these songs. You're eating more than one box.
Man.
Oh.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Texans a little bit, because we've got Matt Weston coming on here shortly.
Our brother from SB Nation.
Yes, SB Nation.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys thought whenever they announced that the Texans traded for that 12th pick?
A lot of things went into my mind just because I felt like, what are we giving up, or what do we have to endure? Because I always feel like with the Texans, it's not just something good's going to happen. I feel like they got to hurt you just a little bit, especially if you feel a certain type of way about the Texans, that they always want to hurt you somehow. Like, they're not always in good intentions, but when you find out it's the person who it is, I feel a little bit more better about the pick. Just because Watson, I get it that he's a rookie. He still has to learn some things. Not everyone can be a Dak Prescott, and that's what people want him to be. But not everyone has that offensive line that Dak has. So there's a lot of things that we have to get through in order to make sure that he's great. But I feel as of right now, if he just keeps his head in the book and able to do it, and I think eventually we'll see that time come.
Yeah, and he has huge legs.
is that your scouting report right there? Huge legs.
He has huge legs.
No, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. You kind of look at the Texans and you're just waiting for them to, like, do something stupid.
Man, and I don't like that. I feel like you have these teams.
But, I mean, sometimes when we thought that, their picks were stupid, we ended up with the best
players. Actually,
everyone booed.
Raise your hand if the first time you heard J.J. Watt at the draft, honestly. Like, when whenever he was drafted, I was really surprised and I didn't like the pick.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
I didn't watch that much Wisconsin football that season. That was my only season where I didn't watch Wisconsin football.
That was the only season.
Yeah, every other season I'm focused on Wisconsin football.
Pretty good on Wisconsin football. Yeah, but yeah, so I always feel that they got something else up their sleeve. But there's a lot of picks I didn't like. For example, not just J.J. Watt, but whenever we first drafted, linebacker.
Brian Cushing?
Cushing, yeah. I mean, he had a teammate Cushing, yeah. I'm surprised he didn't like him either. But at first, I didn't think he was that good of a pick. I would have went with this teammate that went to Cincinnati at linebacker. But
he's turned out to be a good player.
And that's what I'm saying. That's how I learned to not criticize a Texan pick. I'm going to complain about it. I'm going to talk so much mess and hate it.
He led us, I feel like, to a lot of the wins last season when Watt had a take a lead.
He did step up, and I feel that a lot of other people did step up as well. I just feel like our defense's collective is doing well, but
yes,
I look at the secondary and think to my head, all right, y'all are messing with me. Y'all messing with this number one defense right now, because I can't really trust Jackson as of right now. I can't do that. I look at Jonathan Joseph and I respect him, but also he's getting up there as well too. how long is it till Jonathan Joseph can still keep on giving us what he has in the tank?
Yeah, I mean, the losses of AJ Bouye and Quinton Demps is,
man, to stay for Bouye to stay in a division too, and they go to Jacksonville, a team that's, I wouldn't say is rebuilding, but they're getting a lot of good pieces in there.
Hey, you know what, Bouye, enjoy your money, dude. Enjoy your money and your five wins.
Is that really? So only five wins for Jacksonville?
And I'm the hard one in the studio. No. Okay.
Man, I don't want to put my heart in the sleeve, but I'm an LSU fan, and I'm really rooting for Leonard Fournette. But whenever Leonard Fournette goes over there with, was it T.J. Yeldon, and you draft Cam Robinson, and you get you draft D.D. Westbrook in the fourth round, who was a steal at the time from Oklahoma, I feel that they got a lot of good pieces this year. It's still going to take them, yes. They're not going to be 100% this year. But I feel that in time, in 2 or 3 years, I'm going to look at this team and be like, man, we got to play the Jags this week. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
We've been saying that for years.
No, we haven't been saying that for years.
This is the year where they get it together.
The last 5 years, we've been like almost cool sailing a little bit now. At least 5 years.
About the
four
Jaguars?
Or 5 years. No, about the whole division.
Oh, the division.
Think about it. Like, we get laughed at because of our division, and we keep on saying this. Oh, man, the Jags ain't going to do nothing. Oh, the Titans ain't going to do nothing. But then they come around and beat us.
It doesn't matter because we're division champs. That's all that matters. We're champions. We deserve, the Texans deserve.
We can get away with that, I guess, right?
Yeah, the Texans deserve banners out there saying AFC South champions.
He's a bandwagon fan. That's what we got over here.
What?
He's like,
oh, for the Texans?
No, this was your same argument for Harden, okay? So don't even.
No, I love Harden.
Same kind of theory.
What are you talking about? I love Harden. He's the best player in the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm. You're just saying that now because we heard.
Because you partied with him at V-Live, that's why.
Yeah, me and Harden go way back.
Yeah.
I was one of the guys.
He paid.
You're one of the guys he texts.
Yeah. I was like, nah, I'm busy, dude.
He totally just paid you off. Like, he paid those. Oh,
no, I mean, and going back to the drafting, like, dude, you had to kind of do it because you lost Patrick Mahomes to Kansas City in that 10th pick.
And that was a big surprise for me. I was definitely thinking Patrick Mahomes was going to slip to us. I definitely thought Watson would have been gone.
Yeah.
For us to get Watson, I thought was going to be a big leap. So I was actually hoping for Pat Mahomes.
Like, I felt like the Browns were going to pick Watson with that 12th pick.
They could have got that.
They definitely would have gone after Watson, that 12th pick.
But that made me feel uneased because you look at the team who picked up Patrick Mahomes, you kind of think about what another team could have did, because I heard the Cardinals could have been looking for somebody. Then the Steelers end up drafting a quarterback as well. So you kind of felt in desperation a little bit after Pat Mahomes went so early. Because you know what? I feel like that's good for Pat. I think he's going to grow in that system over there. But when you're Smith and you see that, you're like, man, I'm stuck in the same position now. Like, I got to fight for my job.
Yeah, the thing about the Texans, it's all about image. And them not taking a quarterback that first round would have been a huge hit for their image. It would have been a huge hit for Rick Smith. The Texans wouldn't have taken the quarterback that first round. Everybody was going to go for Rick Smith.
Oh, man.
And he wasn't about to.
And me, I would have been the first one. I would have had the first pitchfork and little fire on my stick.
Exactly.
I would have called for his head. I would have been so mad.
Because you're sick of just getting backups. And now you got Tom Savage, who has been groomed in this offense for the last 2-3 years. And now you have the first-round quarterback. And this is what the fan base wanted, and now you have to play your cards.
But look, guys, look, up next, we've got Matt Weston, so we get to talk a whole lot of more football, draft picks, all the people coming up. Anyways, he's one of our own SB Nation, so keep tuned. After the break, come back to 1560 AM Sports Kings After Dark.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by State Farm Insurance Houston. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Allie, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
Welcome back to Sports Kings After Dark. On the phone right now, we have SB Nation's Battle Red blog, Matt Weston. Follow him on Twitter at MBW987. How's it going, Matt?
Do we have him on the line? He's one of our own, so.
Yeah, he is one of our own. Hello, Matt. Well,
he is not in the studio yet.
Hey, Matt, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. How's it going, Matt?
Well, I'm great. Do I sound okay?
Yeah, you sound great,
oh,
man.
Yeah,
sound lovely.
Great.
All right, so
let's get into
In a move that nobody thought the Texans would ever make, they trade up to get the number 12 pick from the Cleveland Browns and get themselves a first-round quarterback for the first time since David Carr. What were your thoughts whenever the move was being made, when the move was announced?
Yeah, actually, I was leaving out of town to go out to West Texas to go backpack. I didn't hear anything about the draft. I just wanted to wait until I got back home. And it goes to my phone, kind of catch up on everything. And I was out there just starting all these text messages throughout that time, like, oh, they traded up. They took Watson. Oh, my God, what do you think? And, you know, I had all these messages like that.
Yeah.
At the time, I was just very excited that they actually got a quarterback. And you know, we waited so long for this to happen, you know, for this team to actually make a decision about the quarterback position. You know, since Matt Schaub fell off, you know, after 2013. And now that, you know, kind of dust has settled, I feel more like I think Watson and Kaiser are both flawed quarterback prospects. And I would have been happy if they just stood where they were, have that first-round pick for next year, and just taking Kaiser and Watson fell all the way to the match at, you know, the 20 position spots that they were at. And instead of trying to get Kaiser, or just trying to get Watson because of how valuable your first-round pick could be. But, I mean, mostly wise, I'm happy they got a quarterback. But, you know, logically wise, I don't understand trading up to take Watson. It's kind of my opinion now on it.
What do you see similarities between Watson and Kaiser, though? Because that's not something I heard around.
No, I mean, there's not that no similarities between the two quarterbacks, but they're both flawed. So, mm-hmm. You know, Watson, arm strength is a legitimate concern. The fact that he only reads one side of the field, and probably the reason why I only read one side of the field at Clemson was that he was so good at reading that pre-snap where he knew where to go with the ball immediately. And then for Kaiser, you know, his big flaw is just accuracy. But he has such a, you know, good arm. He's, you know, first of all, downfield very well. He's going to do it with pressure. I like how Watson is, too. It's not that they're similar players by any means. It's that they're both flawed quarterback prospects. I don't see how Watson's a first-round pick more than Kaiser was, or more than a first-round pick more than Mahomes was, or even Trubisky was. I think they were all really grouped together as just being kind of, you know, quarterbacks who are good and potentially, you know, great depending on their situation. But I don't see how any of them were worth, you know, a first-round pick more so than the other.
All right, Matt, so I see that you put that Julian Davenport was put on this earth to pass block and also get stuff off the top shelf for people, man. But how long do you think that we'll see him actually giving a lot of effort on the field? I mean, coming from Bucknell, what do you think he has to improve on in order to get on the field?
The biggest thing is it's hard to tell just because I only got to see sideline view stuff. It was against Georgetown BMI. And the competition's not that great. If I had behind these stuff and maybe a game in D1 competition, I could kind of have a better idea for him. But, I mean, just like the way he moves very well, the fact that he was constantly getting to that spot, a point of contact is why I thought he's just a natural mover of the position. But just from getting better, it's making sure that he can catch up to the speed of the game. It doesn't make a difference between going any level of, you know, professional sports or any level of, you know, athletics, is the speed is so much different as you get to get better athletes. But once his brain catches up to speed, because I think he's athletic enough to be able to play, and then it's also in the run game, he needs to be lower. And I think he also needs to be a little bit meaner as well, too, where, you know, he's going against guys that are smaller than him, and he can drive them downfield and put them on their back, but he just doesn't do it often enough. And so I think the corrective pad level is somehow he gets meaner on the field, and once his brain kind of catches up to speed and going from blocking a 5'10" guy at UVMI to blocking KJ Watt every day in practice, I think he'll be able to catch up pretty quick. But I can definitely see him being a potential starter in the NFL one day. It may take a year, maybe two years. I don't know. But he does have the potential to be a starter in the NFL.
And that's really interesting because, I mean, I look at, you know, for example, I look at Fuller. And even though he went to Baylor, I mean, he played in the – he was, you know, a center, but, I mean, you kind of play a different position a little bit. You're not just, you know, you're not really quite an NFL center at the moment when you're playing an offense like that. So do you see the future of the, you know, the offensive line being a little better than what it has in the past, you know, expecting to have, you know, better quarterback play, of course, this year?
Yeah, I mean, last year's offense, so, like, I guess in 15, the offensive line was really good. Like, that was the strength of that offense with, you know, Sifield, Brown, Ben Jones, Brent Brooks, and Derek Newton. Those are, you know, five guys who played together for multiple years. And they, once they finally came together at the Cincinnati game where they're all healthy, they were great from that stretch on. But they're losing Brooks and Jones last year were, you know, huge losses. And then also, you know, Allen being as bad as last year were hit off and flying. But overall, I mean, it was still a mediocre offensive line. It wasn't as bad as people, you know, said it was to be. But I mean, as far as moving forward, I think Davenport can start. Having Manks there as defensive guard is cool. I mean, he also plays center also. I'm excited to see McMoore actually play this year because he's a really great pass blocker in college. And they can, you know, he's really good at reaching outside shoulder too. He's kind of a natural zone blocker. And so those two guys are potential stars. And I think same thing with Davenport. And then against the floor, I think he's more of just a potential depth guy. Somebody can play both center and guard. And I think he made a really great point about, you know, being a center at Baylor in the Big 12. A lot of them being a center in the NFL because all of his blocks were you snap the ball, go to one gap and help out, or snap the ball and block the guy in front of him. There wasn't a whole lot of NFL blocks. And so you watch a 17-minute game with him, and you're 3 or 4 minutes to go by, you're staring out the window looking for some of this NFL play, and it just isn't there consistently enough. So I think he's a guy who has legitimate size, but he's got to learn how to play a position. And I think it's that time, you know, he's already 23 years old, redshirt senior. He's a center for a pick. I don't know if he will, but he has the size to maybe become something if he ever learns how to play the game.
And not to take such an abrupt term, but looking at the selected seven and these younger guys, who do you think is going to need the most improvement?
Oh, the other guys drafted this year?
Yes.
I think...
Not to put you on the spot.
I guess the one skill that I think is most important is coming to him, becoming a good tackler. He's one of the worst tacklers I've seen, you know, just because he's always, you know, lurching, he's always grabbing, he's always pulling, he's always yanking. He's not putting his head in the right spot. He's not hitting guys head on. And he gets away with it because he's, you know, he's big and he's fast. He has so much momentum whenever he gets to the, you know, ball carrier. He's able to pull him down. It works. But in the NFL, whenever he's going against, you know, guys like Leonard Fournette and Marco Murray, that sort of stuff's not going to work at all. And whenever you're playing the linebacker, it's between, if you miss your block, if you miss your tackle, it's 10 yards that running back's going to get. And so I think the most important thing for this draft class is Cunningham, you know, becoming a better tackler. So I think it's a skill you can correct and fix and get better at, but it's going to take some time because he's just so bad at it during the time of Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
All right, we got Matt Wesson on the line right now. Follow him at MBW987. Matt, should Texas fans really be worried about that secondary with the loss of A.J. Bouye and Quinton Demstrick? Yeah.
Yeah, I think the A.J. Bouye thing was just a really bad decision all around by the Texans. They should have franchise tagged him at least. I mean, that's what I would have done just because he had one really good year. You want to see it happen again, but he also was young enough where if he was really good again next year, they signed some long-term deal and feel good about it. And so they didn't lose time at all. And then also, they had that block Oswald trade kind of in their back pocket the entire time. It didn't happen until after Bouye was signed, but they still didn't forecast that over and create $10 more million extra in cap space. Now, we could resign Bouye too, and then still, they made that trade, and they still have all this cap space they haven't used. So last year, the string number defense was their, you know, secondary. That was the best part about it. And without him, you're expecting that J.J. Watt being back, another year of Clowney. That's going to string issue now, their pass rush and their front seven. And so I don't think the secondary is going to be as good, and also there's legitimate concerns regarding Joseph Age, Kevin Johnson staying healthy, Kareem Jackson, I don't think it's going to be this year. But I think the whole idea they have this year is that our front seven is going to be so good that the secondary isn't going to be as important. Our pass rush is going to be a top-five pass rush again, so the secondary is going to be as important. And so they let that trade-off go compared to giving a guy, you know, a big deal for 1 year. But again, they could franchise A.J. Bouye, not to worry about it. So, yeah, I am concerned about the secondary. But I think the potential for the front seven being as good as it is, it's not as big of an issue as it could be for a different team.
So Matt, just like you were saying about Leonard Fournette, you see Jaguars get a big boost from Cam Robinson, D.D. Westbrook. You see the Jags moving up a little bit. As in a division, do you see everyone else kind of moving up, and where do you see the Texans at?
Yeah, I think overall, I think last year the division was fun. I mean, I watched all those AFC South games thanks to, you know, the Contenders Game Pass, which is, you know, such a beautiful thing.
Oh, yes.
You know, watch games in 45 minutes. And so I watched all these AFC South games last year, and the division was fine. I'm still kind of, you know, upset away that the Titans lost week 16. The Texans won week 16 with Randy Bull missing that field goal because they really wanted a week 17 AFC South championship game that we never got. But I think this year the division is legitimately good. I really like what the Colts did this offseason, improved their defense. I really like their draft as well, too, improving their secondary. The Titans were, you know, really close. They made some moves out, some impact players, their defense, to make them better. And they also had deep threat from Mariota. And the Jaguars, I think they're going to be the worst team in the division. I like the Clyde Campbell signing a lot. I like what they did to their defense. I like their draft. But the issue wasn't Leonard Fournette adding him. The issue was that they were a terrible interior blocking team. And so whenever you have that, it doesn't matter how good your running backs are, you can't tier block. They gave Chris Ivey a lot of money last year. They drafted Fournette. But then tier blocking is not going to be good enough. And so I still think Bortles could be a good quarterback if he only has to make like five deep throws a game, if the running game is good, if the defense is playing well. I think he'd be good enough to be like, you know, a top 15 quarterback, a quarterback that's good enough on a good defense that can run the ball, which Jacksonville could have if they're tier blocking. But that's the one thing holding them back. So as far as the division goes into next year, I think it's probably the Titans 1, Houston 2, Indy 3, but they can jump off easily depending on how well Luck plays. And then Jacksonville at the bottom 4th.
Yeah. Well, Matt, we'd love to have you on the show, but...
So full of knowledge, man. You're just dropping the gems the whole time, man. I really appreciate you being here, Matt.
Thank you so much.
Anyone out there listening, be sure to follow him, like, comment, tweet, whatever, retweet, because this guy, he's definitely going to come in handy. Football season is coming up, and he knows his stuff. So
yeah, follow him at MBW987 and read his work at Battle Red Blog on SB Nation.
Yeah.
And
we'll be back soon, guys. SB Nation, 1560 AM, Sports Kings After Dark.
You're listening to Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by State Farm Insurance Houston. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Allie, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
All right, well, if you missed any of today's Sports Kings After Dark, make sure to go to podcastarena.com find Sports Kings there under... I think either SB Nation Radio.
We have a Facebook and a Twitter.
Check on Twitter is at Sports Kings.
At Sports Kings.
And on Facebook, Sports Kings Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
Yeah, we remember that already.
Chris.
You can find great pictures of Chris.
All his headshots.
Yeah, all his headshots.
Okay. It's very easy on the eyes.
Looking good. But... yeah, I mean, quick scores before we head off here. Dynamo lost 4-1. That's right.
Aww.
Little Dynamo update for you. Me and Gene would have done that, but anyway. Just playing, Gene. And then the Astros lost 2 in a row. Their second in a row against the Indians, 3-0. You know the last time they lost 2 in a row?
Against the Indians.
We're against the Indians. Man. So it's not looking good so far. And they...
They got one more. You know what? I was looking at the schedule. Do you feel bad sometimes for baseball players when they go like 15 games like in a row and have to play a game every day, whether it's in a different city or not?
I mean, I bet they don't feel bad. They got careers going.
I'm just like, man, like
they go up there 3 times. So
it's just to me, I get tired of just looking at the schedule because I guess it's something to look for. But I mean. Every day, man. Like, every day you got to go stand yourself out in center field and just chill until hopefully the ball comes your way. Like,
that's a little bit restful than, like, playing football
man, every week. Sometimes
you're getting a nice tan, though.
I guess so. I mean, and you can pay millions of dollars to go stand out in the field. Park.
I think the room they're is getting almost a free always...
Hey, it's open sometimes. Yeah. But
it's actually more open than the Texans Stadium in NRG.
Yeah.
I feel like that one's always closed. All right, I give you an hour. Here for you to think about your worst date.
God.
And you can use their names if you want.
Okay. If I want? Yeah, okay, you know what? I am going to sink this guy.
Ooh.
Okay.
Here we go.
Whoa. Okay, worst date. It wasn't really the date itself, but it was... I want to hear your worst
date. Can you go in the, can you, like, go first? Like, you can't just, like, give us, like, things to do if you haven't even went first.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay, well... Basically, it wasn't the date itself, really, except he took me to Applebee's. Come on. I mean, I don't know.
Are you mad only because of Applebee's?
No.
It has to be more than Applebee's, man.
It was like the club night.
So $1 appetizers.
It was like the club night for karaoke at Applebee's.
What? They have?
Yeah, they have. Yeah,
they have karaoke?
Some Applebee's have karaoke.
That's the fantasy.
So I couldn't even really talk to the guy. He was on his phone the entire time. That is the worst thing to do.
I hate that.
Then when he drops me off, because I was in college, so he drops me off at my dorm, right? Well, I'm in my dorm and my friend texts me and they're like, "Hey, are you with Patrick?" I'm like, "Why you want to know?" And it was one of the girls in my dorm. So I'm like, "No, actually I'm not." She's like, "I think you should call him." Why should I? You know, it was a little suspect. Oh. Why should I call him? And she's like, "Well,
suspect.
I didn't want to tell you, but now that you're not with him, I could have swore that he was dropping you off, but he just dropped someone else off at your dorm."
So I look outside.
I'm not kidding you. So, and I'd already suspected this girl, kind of, by the way, this blonde-headed girl.
You're a jerk.
Yeah. So, yeah, he even mentioned her one time, you know, but I try to be nice, you know. And
you're a jerk.
Wait a minute. So he dropped you off and picked someone else
up?
Yep,
he went out on another date.
You can't trust those Huntsville guys.
Man. What?
It wasn't Huntsville. Actually, it was when I went to Blinn College.
I bet you he took her back to Applebee's.
Well, you know what, Blinn?
No, he better have taken that girl to Sonic or something. A little bit. Come on.
She got McDonald's.
But
no, at least Sonic. I got Applebee's.
Dang,
So
did he pay for the date?
Yeah, he did. Of course he did.
Did you guys hear about that story where this guy was suing this lady because she was texting in the movie theater?
First of all, I got something to say about that. Like, if you're going to go see Guardians of the Galaxy, you go watch Guardians of the Galaxy.
Pay attention, yeah.
Like, yeah, that's definitely a movie you should see because it's actually a good movie. Like, Allie. See, and Allie. This is the last time you're going to have to, like, talk to us like that because I didn't like that one.
Of
like,
all the things I'll you said today, music. That's the most interesting. Yeah.
What's that one guy group?
Allie, I don't even know you right now. Who are you?
This is not technical difficulties. Man. Chris is totally just bleeping me out in here.
Are you going to talk mess about Chris?
Can you cut her mic, please?
He's no one puts baby in the corner. I love Guardians of the Galaxy. I hate you.
Yeah, man. Okay, but I'm just saying, so like, not just
first
that.
You like WWE, now you don't like Guardians? Get out of here, Allie.
Get out of here, Allie.
I'm starting to see what I got to somebody else.
Okay. He's going to put that on.
That's why he took your Applebee's.
Okay.
Okay, but seriously, I felt that the guy also as well should know who you take into a movie though.
That's true.
It was like, probably like a blind date. It was probably like a Tinder date.
But why would you go on a Tinder date at a movie where you won't even be able to communicate with the person? So you can't really be mad at the person.
I had a guy take me out on a first date to a movie. I hated it though.
Restaurant first.
Yeah, what is wrong with going on a date with a movie?
But for a person that you don't know yet.
That's what I say too. But I mean,
I like to go get Starbucks and go to the park and just talk.
See, yeah, right.
That, oh my God, yes, that is my favorite.
That's the way it should be.
I get the venti mocha.
I get the rainbow one. This is so
I've been getting McDonald's coffee.
McDonald's? What?
First, I won't eat there.
You talk mess about Applebee's, but you don't talk mess about McDonald's.
You
need to
get priority straight, Allie.
Telling you, you can't trust a girl who only likes avocados. It's not normal.
No, he's bleeping me out. Okay, so enough.
It's not normal.
Okay.
That's all I got to say.
Well, enough about my bad dates. I mean, we've only got a little bit left here, but I know I'm not the only one that has had a bad date.
I know that's pretty bad. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think I have had a date that I can honestly be so mad at it.
I mean, I did have a date who got a little bit too drunk, and then...
That's bad.
Let's just say there was some projectile.
Oh, what?
Yeah. That was a bad
date. That was the last time you talked to her.
So there was a dinner and a show.
No, but I met her at the party that I was at.
Oh, so it wasn't really a date.
It was just the first impression? But it was the worst experience of my life.
Oh, okay.
I don't want anybody else's vomit in my shoes.
What? In your shoe?
Yeah, dude.
How did that happen?
But hey, listen, guys. We're going to be back tomorrow night.
So we can do it all over again.
Yeah, and then we'll try to convince Mean Gene to wear a romper.
I think we can get that done
tomorrow.
Yeah, next week we're going to be.
Yeah, but next week.
Guys, check us out on our Facebook, Twitter. We'll be back tomorrow night. Same time, same place. Listen to 1560 AM. SB Nation, this is Sports Kings After Dark. It's been fun, Allie.
David.
And Mean Gene. I'm Mean. See ya.
You don't even know his name.
I'm Chris over here. I'll see you guys tomorrow. We'll be back. SB Nation Radio 1560 AM. See ya.